stranger. You can't earn eternal life by your performance. Now, what is needed is to come to Jesus, who reveals, who shows you how to be saved, which is why the experts' questions in the end are so tragically wrong. How do you gain eternal life? You come to Jesus, who reveals it to you. Have you done that? Or are you still trying to work it out for yourself? Do what is right. Try to earn your own way. Well, I'm a good enough person. I think I'll be okay. No, no, no. You can't meet the standard. No one can. So stop trying. Stop deceiving yourselves that you think you can. Come to Jesus. That's how you gain eternal life. See, in the end, we don't understand Jesus' parable until we put ourselves in the proper place in the story. See, we tend to read it as if we're only meant to find ourselves in the people who pass by. In which case, the most important question becomes, will you show love or will you ignore the needs of others before you? And as we'll see in just a few minutes, that is an important question for Christians to ask. But when you step back and you look at the bigger picture, you see that actually we bear more spiritual resemblance to the helpless man dying by the side of the road than to the Samaritan or to the passerby. And friends, the only person who has ever perfectly loved in the way the Samaritan reveals is Jesus. He is the real good Samaritan. And it's seen in how he's loved us, you and me. He came to us while we were still enemies. He met us when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. He fulfilled the requirements and paid the price so that our soul's wounds might be healed. And he did it at a great cost to himself. He died on a cross. And in doing so, he paid both the immediate cost and the ongoing cost. And then he picks us up and he carries us to safety. It's only by trusting in Christ's death and resurrection that we can inherit eternal life. So have you? But once you've understood that truth, we'll find that actually we're able to truly extend ourselves in love to those in physical and spiritual need around us. See, once you've got the purpose sorted, it begins to shape how you live. And we begin to see what true love is. See, a heart that has been touched by the unmerited love of Christ will be moved to show that love to others who may not deserve it. Jesus has loved you. Go and do likewise. See, for a heart, let me see if I can put it this way, flip it for a moment. See, a heart that loves to earn salvation is not loving genuinely. It's fake love. If I'm loving to earn something, then it's all about me. There's a fakeness to it. Do you remember in the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? The moment when the White Witch, the Queen, meets Edmund for the first time. And she's all loving and friendly to him. She invites him into her sleigh and she puts her blanket over him and she gives him Turkish delight. And he feels all loved and he feels special. And all she wants, though, is for him to bring his two sisters and his brother and himself to her so that she can kill them. But at that moment, it's fake love. It's all about her own purposes. And we know, of course, Edmund discovers that much later, much to his dismay. And when we love to earn salvation, when we love because we're trying to get ourselves somewhere or somehow earn our way to heaven, and let's be frank, we all slip into this at times. I mean, we know deep down, most of us, it's all about Jesus. But we like to think that somehow we can add to it. That if we behave this way, well, then God will answer this prayer. Or he'll continue to show us favor as long as I continue to behave in this manner. Or loving this way just makes me feel good, feel worthier of his love. Or I just love to make myself look good, more godly, more servant leader-like. And when our love is driven by that sense of earning something, our love is fake, it's queen-like, it's about serving my interests, not the interests of others. It looks like a love thing, but it's not. So I'll serve and I'll put out chairs and I'll draw alongside others and I'll say the right things, but inwardly I'm hoping, please notice, please say something. Please say how great I am. Please say what a godly man you are. Please say, wow, you love people in such an extraordinary ways. And I'm more concerned with what you think of me or winning God's favor than with loving you properly. And when you love to earn your salvation, then you become like the lawyer. You'll begin to define who is worthy of our love. You know, we'll draw the circle of who to love and who not to love. We'll define the standard. I love you because you're like me. I love you because you're my friend. I love you because you're family and I have to. I love you because I deem you worthy of my love, but not you. I'll love you and I'll seek to understand your situation, but not you. It's all on my terms. And you'll become judgmental. You'll start to judge according to your standards and my standards. I mean, outwardly I'll look like a saint. But inwardly you will irritate me something else. I'll be thinking, how stupid are you? How hard can it be? How foolish are you? Stop blaming your past. What's wrong with you? You'll never understand me. You're not the same as me. We come from different backgrounds. You are not worthy of my love. I'll put limits on that love as well. I'll love you for half an hour, but then I've had enough. I'll love you on a Sunday morning, but you ain't coming to my house. I'll love you to your face, but behind your back, I'll speak ill. I'll love you on my terms. I'll do this and no more. Woe betide you if you ask me to do more. I have met my love quota. And when I love in order to earn salvation or to add to it, I will love you out of pride, a sense of superiority, because somehow I am feeling worthy because I am loving people. Look at how well I'm doing. Poor you. You need my love. And I love you looking down on you, on your poor, messed up little life. Poor you. But here's some of my love. And friends, if you don't believe me, that's how you'll love. If you're earning salvation, check out the Pharisees. Look at the Pharisees throughout the gospel. And Jesus' words of condemnation on them. These guys who just used to stand there and love to be seen as godly men who prayed and gave away and sought to say the right thing. But inwardly and out, they did not love. You know, the man who stood there, Luke 18. Oh, Father, I thank you that I am not like them. That's how you love if you are loving to earn salvation. But a heart transformed. A heart that loves Jesus. A heart that recognizes what it is Jesus has done. That recognizes they are actually like the man in the gutter with no hope, naked, beaten, unable to earn anything. And Jesus comes along, the real good Samaritan, and loves them and expresses this extravagant kindness. Love others not to earn salvation, but love flowing from a love shown to them. They delight to love. They desire to love. And when we grasp Jesus' love, you see, not people below you, but people like you. That everyone is in the gutter, naked and beaten. Their sin may be a different flavor to yours. It may be worked out different to yours. It may be expressed differently to yours. But they're still a sinner just like you. And they need Jesus' love just like you. And so now when I've grasped that, I will move towards and love you, not because it earns me anything, but because someone loved me like that. And so I desire to love others like that. See, the Samaritan He didn't limit his love, did he? He didn't see a Jew and think, no way. Just saw a man. Love disregards the who. It disregards race and politics and class and religion, and it moves towards all, everyone. See, a Samaritan didn't think to himself, well, this is not convenient, as he saw the man. This just doesn't fit with my schedule. I've got places to go. You know, my tea's waiting. A heart touched by Jesus doesn't limit your love in time to Sunday morning to a half hour. No, it gives as necessary. See, the Samaritan didn't come along and he didn't judge the man. You idiot! For walking along here without a donkey, are you a muppet? You are not worthy of my love. I'd have never done that. No, heart moved by love, moves towards it. It recognizes, but for the grace of God, that could have been me. If I had their background, if I'd been raised in that environment, with those circumstances, if I'd faced that illness, if those events had happened in my life, I too might be where they are, responding and behaving like they are. See, love seeks to understand. It moves towards like Jesus. See, the Samaritan didn't think, okay, well, I'm going to do is bandage his wounds. That's enough. Done my loving for the week, the month. Done all that is required of me. Hit the love quota. Let's go. No, he went the extra mile. Paid the price at great cost to himself. See, if you love Jesus, if your heart has been touched by Jesus, how will you love your neighbor this week? Not to earn salvation, but flowing from salvation. How will you love those immediately around you, your family, those who live near you, those who you walk and work alongside, serve alongside, those here on Sunday morning? How will you love them? Think about them. Repent and refrain from judging them. Display lavish kindness and costly love. How will you move towards them? Let me finish with just giving you some practical ways to do that, starting this morning. See, how might you greet them? What would you say? Who might you greet? The visitor at church? Maybe a new colleague at work or the new neighbour on the street? Would you greet the less popular, the introvert, the marginalised, those sitting alone? Be it here on a Sunday or in your workplace or in your particular social group. Would you greet the person you find difficult and hard to understand and grasp? Having greeted any of these ones, how might you engage in kind of a thoughtful conversation and see how will you move towards them in love? Will you seek to understand them? Their family, their holidays, where they live, where they grew up, listening to what is important to them, where they struggle, what they love. Are you looking for the good in them? Are you looking for the good in your wife or your husband? Are you encouraging them in that? Are you looking for the good in your kids, in your colleagues, in members of your church family? Are you looking for the good in their character, in their gifts, their abilities, in their hobbies, in their interests? How might you serve them? Is there a need that you can meet with your time? Financially, practically? Is there something they need you to pray for? Can you empathize? Can you sympathize? How are you moving towards them? Just as Jesus moved towards you. Friends, it's a love thing. It's a love that flows from being loved. And I think this is a very relevant thing for us as a church at this stage. We're a growing church. With a growing church, there's increased visitors. How are we moving towards them? How are we loving them? As a growing church, there's going to be increasingly those who do things differently to me. Maybe even think differently. Yes, we're united in the gospel. Yes, we fundamentally believe the same things. But just how we work that out may just be a little bit different. How am I loving them? How am I seeking to understand them? How am I seeking to move towards them? However they are different to me. Friends, it's a love thing. Who will you greet? How will you greet? How you engage in thoughtful conversations? How will you pray for them, serve them, love them? How will you do that this morning? If you've got your big purpose set, this is how you begin to work it out. Take a moment while the band come up. There may be something in your heart that you just need to confess before the Lord and deal with. There may be those who you need to speak with afterwards. You may want to talk it through more with myself or with one of the other elders, pastors. Do that. Take a moment now just to you and the Lord. Where is He speaking to you? What is it you need to do? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to love? We're going to sing two songs. One that reminds us of what it is Jesus has done for us. And then the other that reminds us of how good it is to be a family together. Let's stand and sing.